Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you people today, huh? How are you fiancés today? It's another Thursday, 7:30 in the a.m. Well, 7:32 now. And you're joined by DJ Ambush and Smoke Show Jones.
Wow. Thanks, Ambush.
Yeah. I call him like I see him.
Oh.
Well. What's happening?
Huh? New Thursday. Who this?
Hey.
This good morning, fiancés.
Morning, y'all.
How we doing?
How is everybody doing? Huh? We had a little bit of... It was like a rough top of the week. I felt like your schedules are so busy. You know, kids feeling a little under the weather. You know, the bounce back's been good. And I think we're going to finish strong.
To be young again, you know?
To be young again.
It's pretty cool that you're like, oh man, I feel like I got something coming on. Mm. I'm all the way better. I took a nap. I feel great. My throat has never hurt.
Right. I did tell the little one, I said, you know what? They were like, I'm so confused. I feel so much better now. I was like, you may just be exhausted.
Yeah.
You know? You got a job now. You're, you know, you're in school and intense sketch. Just, you know, a lot going on. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I got to see some of our friends this week and Jess and Emma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell them, I am the annoying person who's a friend that now is like, if you're like, how's it going? And you need to catch up. I'm like, my kids are so. Sorry, guys. I don't mean to be that. But I am right now. I'm just going to sit with it.
Me and Emma were chopping it up on Instagram. It might have been earlier this week or late last week. Whenever I did that video of my martial art prowess from my yesteryears. And it was a video of an amazing feat.
I'm not sure I've seen this video.
Oh, well, yeah.
Is it on the internet?
Oh, well, it might be.
Okay.
I don't know. I posted it. And it was like, this is amazing. I was like, I used to be able to do this when I was younger. You know, this is how I used to get down. And then the very next slide was just a picture of me looking out the window. And that was a total lie. It's a complete lie.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, honesty is the best policy. And Emma jumped in and was just like cracking up. And I said, you know, Kay had responded on Instagram and was like, Dad, in what life?
Oh! Excuse you?
Emma was like, she did not. I was like, definitely did. You know.
Rude.
It is rude when your children just call you liars on the internet. Save that for the dinner table. I'll need to be challenged.
Publicly?
How dare you?
No public challenges.
How dare you? Huh? You still pay for your clothes. Put food on your table.
It's true.
Huh? You can challenge me on the internet?
Unfair.
Completely.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It has, in fact, been a week. A long one.
Mm-hmm.
Always is. It definitely is like... no matter where or what part in the year, I'm like, okay, we're about to get on the other side of being behind on everything. I appreciate the way you laughed just now, because that's exactly, I think, what the universe does when I'm like, I am so close to being on the other side of being behind. And so I'm still feeling very, I am very behind on all my things right now. So yeah. I'm feeling a lot of stress and pressure.
Yeah.
But I want to get it done.
You had that whole end of the year thing right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta hit the finish line strong.
And then when all of that is happening, I'm also supposed to be like buying Christmas presents or something.
Yeah. Don't forget that part.
Haven't done one. That's my warning to my family just now. Haven't bought anybody anything. Yep. That's the shopping's a treat. You know, I got to get certain work done before I can like spend hours shopping on the internet.
Well, I'm glad it's a treat. Yeah. You know, at least you're getting something out of the. It's a little stressful for me because I want to show people immediately what I got you.
That's the problem with shopping, though?
Yeah. Holiday shopping, gift shopping is like, ooh, they're going to love this. Hey, you. Guess what I got? You don't want to open it now? You want to wait for your actual birthday?
Yes, I do.
Fine. Ruin the moment. I guess we'll wait then to be happy. You know? I'm sorry. I'm working on it.
You just got so upset.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Are we on the air? Because we don't have a text message yet. I was just making sure. You know, when it's almost 10 minutes in, I gotta, hey, y'all there?
Oh, yeah, the air, because we don't have a text. But that's kind of an indication that we are on the air, because no one has texted us to say, hey.
Oh, you're not on the air.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Those are the type of fans we have. We have assistant producers. They're amazing.
It's true.
They're like, hey, can't hear Morgan. Cut the mic up. And also, you're not on the air.
Also, can't hear either of you because you're not on. You know what else isn't on?
What?
A ceasefire.
Here's the thing. I almost picked that up.
Dang.
You had that. So yeah, it was like an underhand pitch. And I was like, ceasefire? I could say that. Are we jumping there? Yeah, ceasefire's not on. Who do we have to thank for that?
Do you want to put on America, the home of the brave? What's the song called? America.
National Anthem.
Is that?
I think
no,
so.
I'm thinking of the other one, though.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the other one. What's the Amber Waves of Grain or something?
Yeah, what is that? America the Beautiful? I don't know.
Yeah,
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, play that song because no. It's America's fault.
America.
It's America.
Can we play the other America song from. What's that?
Childish Gambino.
No.
Oh.
Well, that would be a good one.
Look.
Oh, look.
Oh.
America F. Yeah. What's that? What's that?
Oh. Yeah, that.
Yeah. Dang. From the creators of South Park.
I can't remember anything in this moment.
Something Force?
So I think it is something Force, but in the moment, all I could think of was Aqua Teen
Hunger Force,
which
yeah.
is not it.
That's not it, man.
At all.
No.
But, you know, yeah. some people are like, ceasefire now, and we're like, or later, or whatever, or like, whatever's up to you, like NBD.
Yeah, what exactly you know? Is a ceasefire, you know?
Do you guys want to spend some weeks talking about what a ceasefire is before we commit to doing one?
And let's measure ourselves here, because right now we're in the middle of a cease water, and we're going to need time before we can get to a ceasefire, you know? Right now, we're really focused on the cease water, guys. You know, we got to make sure they have no resources to work with. No water. No healthcare. No medical, you know, staff, because we're allowing the Israelis to unalive medical professionals, journalists, anyone.
Oh, I believe the word you're looking for is everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the word you're looking for. I don't know how we are still, like, I'm watching certain media legacy
outlets
and people sort of go from, well, obviously, this was the biggest terror attack that's ever happened, and so no such thing as a disproportionate response, to, hey, guys, I don't know if you know this, but, those numbers are pretty wildly different.
Then they hit us with we don't know if those numbers are real. I have no confidence in those numbers.
It is pretty amazing that I just saw this week. So I believe it was, within the week, it could have been very late last week, that our own Joe Byron, I don't even know who he was talking to, but remember, if you will, we played a couple of clips of him saying, you know, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Anyone can actually be a Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Zionist. And then there were people who are, you know, the vote blue no matter who. And listen, I will shame you if you say anything other than voting for Joe Byron this time, right, or whoever it is at that time. Those folks were like, ah, but that was so long ago. decades. Now, mind you, in those moments, Joe Byron was saying, if Israel didn't exist, we would have to invent her.
Exactly.
We would have to create
an Israel
state because we need to be in the Middle East, but nobody likes us enough to allow us to hang out.
No one's gonna let us kick it, bro.
And, which is what happens when you do the terrorism across the globe.
So
you
instead,
know?
They're like, don't worry, we'll buy all the alcohol for the party.
Yep.
If you let us park in the driveway.
Because I need to be able to get to the trunk quicker than anyone else to get more alcohol.
Yeah.
Or white phosphorus, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Whichever is needed in the moment.
However you need to slice it.
I don't know how people... So we've seen people do the, hey guys, this is actually what has to happen to, this seems like maybe are we going too far now?
Mm-hmm.
Not enough, obviously, because here we are. Not that just the voices are going to change the way this goes, but watching our country vote against a ceasefire solitarily, is that how you say that? By themselves.
Yeah.
By themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The UK is like, actually, we didn't make it to the meeting, and so we're not going to vote.
We know this is a big issue, but couldn't make
traffic. Couldn't make it.
It's so busy on these roadways. Yeah.
Now they're like, hi, we'll just be quiet about it. Canada's like, okay, guys, gone too far. Now we're going to have to actually say, please do the ceasefire.
Right.
There's a question that people keep asking, and that is, how many Palestinian deaths do you need to feel that you have proportionately responded to this?
Mm-hmm.
And there is no number. And the people that are claiming to not understand that this is ethnic cleansing or genocide, or that Israel is not a democratic country, it is an apartheid state. It's becoming increasingly hard for them to get around that disproportionality. When you're talking less than 1,500 Israeli deaths and near 20,000 Palestinian deaths, and if we can just remember that one has an army and one doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, like they're...
Yeah.
Hamas is a response to living
decades of oppression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of and to remind folks that oppression means terror. Oppression means consistent terrorism. Yeah,
people born into and dying within that system. It's interesting how, like, as you're talking about people that want to bring up the numbers, right? Even the imaginary ones of 40 babies being beheaded. And I've been kind of curious about that. Why 40? What was the threshold needed? Like 15 wasn't good enough. We want to really enrage people, and 30 is close, but let's do 40. Anyways, 40 babies beheaded. The amount of people that perished at the festival. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to quote these numbers. Numbers matter. When you swing it back around and say, since we're bringing up numbers, let's talk numbers. And then it's, you know, well, we don't have faith in those numbers. And also, the numbers don't matter. Okay, cool. You only tried to use them to incite us to anger and you know, radicalize us in on your behalf. That's when the numbers matter.
Exactly that. But
we shouldn't consider numbers when we think about what is or isn't an appropriate response. So interesting. Very interesting.
I don't know how they were able to get away with the this is war from the beginning, because war means like equal parts for fighters, right? I mean, maybe not that. What do I mean? I mean, there's no military. Like, Hamas is not a military. If we call it a militia group, I don't know. Like,
I mean, but it's easy for me to understand how they were able to get away with that narrative when Palestine, their struggle, their challenges have never been discussed in a way that identifies the actual problem. You know what I'm saying?
Because definitely people have been talking about it, but you mean like
mainstream?
Okay.
Yeah. Mainstream media.
Yeah, like Dana Bash is not ever saying.
Yeah. Because you're right.
This could be apartheid?
Right. You can't go from oppression and apartheid framing to this is a war. No.
Right.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Because who are they? They're in war. They're beefing with the people. They're in, you know, combat with the people they had under apartheid. That's not how any of that works.
It's just
the nature of apartheid. Like, what?
The power imbalance is so large that, I don't know what day we're on, but, you know, we're 2 months mm-hmm. plus some days.
We're over 70.
Into this. And what's interesting to me is how fed up the Israeli officials are. They are like, hey, man, I am sick and tired of everybody asking me if this is okay or not.
Yeah.
They've had it. And they are starting to say the things that they said they would not say, or that they said they weren't doing. They're starting to say it.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's a thing that I do appreciate about giving people the space and time to tell their truths, you know? There are a lot of people that don't understand what Zionism is today. And hopefully out of this, people understand it. But like there are so many that don't, that believe that this is just a very sort of, I don't know, cut and dry thing, or in the way, because we've just been propagandized.
Yep.
How many times have you heard that, you know, Israel has a right to exist? I don't understand why we talk about rights to countries, like to land, to space, it like right. that. Like you have the right to colonize. You have the right to settle. You have the right to kick people off the land, the existing people off the land they were on. That's not defending yourself.
Also, that's not executing the right to exist.
It's like,
don't
not.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't say Israel has the right to exist under any means necessary. Like let's complete the full sentence here, because we're not saying you can't exist. What we're saying is the way you're doing it is horrid. The way you're choosing, the choices that you're making and how you want to exist in the region are horrific. And it's at the expense of the indigenous people. Like, I do want to do this, though, while we're on the topic. I want to check in. We got a bunch of texts coming in.
Okay.
Our fiancés are here. I want to do a check-in because when this kicked off, we were talking about what was happening, this dynamic. We were talking about like a good 2-3 weeks straight, because it was just, you know,
mm-hmm.
It was just unbelievable things every single day, and they continue to. And I have found myself like waxing and waning and struggling with how I engage with this particular topic online. Not so much on News of My Fiancé's Instagram, but on my personal Instagram. Because I'm in a circle, I'm in a bubble of people that care too. So everyone is posting it. Everyone is posting it. And some of the images, some of the video, some of the data that's coming out, it weighs heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot to take in because we are getting live, unchecked, unfiltered information about the way Palestinians are being wiped off the face of the earth. And I don't know how people are coping. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're responding or reacting to it. Someone has sent me something. They had something in their stories. And I responded. And this is someone I've already been having the conversation with. Like, yo, this is tough. Like, this is tough. Of course, it's not anything close to the people who are actually experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
But to just be in the United States and knowing that the country that we live in is responsible for this is hard. It's really hard. And, you know, then you wake up and you got to do the rest of your day. And so they posted something and I saw it and I was like, this makes, like, it's hard to not want to have some type of physical reaction to this.
Yeah.
Like, something must be done. You are in this, like, there was a execution that took place in a school. And it was like, and then these leaders will get on the TV and pretend to be human beings. and pretend that, you know what? If you guys would just understand where we're coming from, we'd have far less to talk about. We can go about our business of genocide. But now you want to talk to us about the rights of the people that aren't really people, that are just subhuman?
I mean, we would never say that they're not people, but they are, in fact, only terrorists.
Right.
You know, like, it's amazing to me how there is, you know, it's just very reminiscent of the far right here. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really necessarily mean the word far, because it has, the right has shifted so much. And that includes what is supposed to be the left-ish or center left has just jumped in the right bandwagon. Which is, I mean, you know, these are the intersections. This is where ideologies can be a thing until it comes down to capitalism.
Right.
And if you are going to do anything to disrupt capitalism, now we can't have it. And we can't have it in either party, which is, you know, just one glaring reason why a two-party system does not work.
Right. Right.
That is not me saying don't vote or, you know, like, I'm just saying the actual system itself
doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It is not actually democratic. What I would like, you know, collectively, if we could start to be less defensive about the things that we have learned or been taught or been propagandized with.
Because we're not responsible for it.
We're not responsible for it. Like, if we could be less defensive and be open to the idea that there's other information about these things that you haven't heard. And the more you start to understand just how much the information you have been taught or that you have been told your entire life is, in fact, straight up fiction.
Right.
The more that you start to understand that, the more immediate it is to be like, well, wait, did that happen? I need to look into this before I get all up in arms.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be immediately helping? Where, you know, like, I remember there being, you know, reasons that you would think that the U.S. would get involved with something in the way of humanitarian aid or humanitarian aid, stop someone else's, smaller war kind of thing. And then you realize and you wonder, like, why wouldn't they be involved? Like, we could just fix that thing. Right. And then you find out that they're the reason that there's the thing.
Right.
That needs to be fixed.
They are part of the fix. The fix is in.
The amount of coups or attempted coups or infiltrations that this country has done. You do not have the right to do that. You don't have the right to just get your fingers in everybody's business around the globe, you know?
Right.
As a country, that's not a right. You don't get to just... So then we're just flexing imperial power, right? And we're just doing the... My military's bigger than yours.
Right.
And I have more diplomats or something. I just don't. But anyway, to the point of... The idea that we can have two parties that then come back to the bottom line for this is, this is going to have to just happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just going to have to happen. This makes so much money.
Like you guys wouldn't believe.
And I mean, for obviously all the wrong things and all the wrong people and all the wrong stuff. And, you know, but there's still this chatter as if the remaining Palestinian people are able to just live. There are no homes.
Right.
Like you have just, like, bombardment is a word. And it's also like text. I'd be like, wow, that's the perfect word. Sums it up.
Yeah.
And in this, it somehow feels like Cracker Jacks. Like nothing feels big enough for what is happening. None of the
because
words
if it was, that, it'd stop. It would end.
You would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something to be said about how all these other countries are like, cut it out.
Quit
and
it.
You can just be, you know, stalemated by one country. I understand the perceived power and the, you know, all this stuff. But like, one? We can't veto? One? Because the other one's too scared to say that they're with it.
Right.
You know, they're too scared to say, yeah, we say whatever America says. And whatever small country that you have, like, you know, strong-armed into saying, yes, also, we don't want a ceasefire.
Right.
But, like, this isn't, I'm trying not to use words.
Curse words?
Yeah, like, I'm trying not to use curse words or what, inflammatory words. Like, the disconnect that we are having as a people, as a country, collectively watching our president say in today to now, 2023, I am a Zionist. Like there was really, before he was elected, there was this push to remind folks of how many dastardly things Joe Biden has done and said. And that is supposed to illuminate just how much of performance being a liberal is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can tell me that the Civil Rights Act changed your life and you were so happy about it, but also you were anti-segregation, you know, and anti-integration, not segregation. Come on.
It was like, let me add some more highlights to this reel. Like, you guys look at old footage. Let me get some new.
Let me update it. There were people literally saying, well, that was decades ago. So it took us, you know, 15 minutes to come back around to what I was saying in the first place. But the decades ago.
Right.
We can't rely on that's, you know, guys, be
people
for real.
People change.
There's updated information. Certainly true. Also today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your man's is saying that. I just don't know how we are still in the position to be doing the but what's in their hearts, because the conversations are still sitting at this very tippy top of the surface of, well, do you condemn Hamas?
You said two things that I want to touch on before we go to break. Definitely about the two-party system. And I do want to circle back to just checking in on everyone mentally and where they are and how they're handling this. But when you say the system doesn't work, we need people to understand that when we say that, the system, we understand that the system does not work for the people. It does not work for us. The system is working as it's intended. So it's kind of like being told, hey, if you participate in this system, you're in control and you're playing chess. When actually what we are playing when we participate in the system is checkers. And we've been told that we've been playing chess. There is no chess to play. There is only checkers. And we won't have chess to play until we build chess. We have to create that system that will work for us. The best we can do now is play checkers on someone else's board. But we do not have, we have to spend the time, and we say this all the time, we have to spend the time investing in what a third party looks like. We cannot wait and show up every 4 years and kick the same rhetoric about we have these limited options and there's nothing to do about it. No, that's, if you play chess, you know, you have to think so many moves ahead.
Right.
Okay. So we have to, again, we got to think years ahead. What does this look like in 8 years for us? What does this look like in 12 years for us? That's why we have organizations like Moms for Liberty, and like, they have been long gaming. They have been putting their chessboard together and have making it, been making it work. That's why our judges are stacked the way they are now. They have been playing the long game and getting us all riled up over checkers. So, yes, the system doesn't work. We're not saying don't vote. Okay. You still got to
participate.
Still got to participate.
But more than the participation of this system, we have to start participating in the dismantling of it, which means you got to learn about what we could do first. Yes. We have to get, you know, same page on how we would like to move forward. It does not mean you abandon what is there in the moment before you have something else in place.
Yeah.
That is, do not let someone tell you that when someone says burn it down, build it back. That does not mean burn it down
walk away. Yeah. And that's not what we're talking about.
It's also, you don't burn it down before the other thing.
Yeah, not where you're still in it. So but yeah, we got a bunch of texts, and we're going to come back from the break and read some of those. But while we're on the break, I would like to hear from you guys. Like, how is all of this settling with you? How are you coping? How are you dealing with this this coverage, with what we're getting or not getting from major news outlets? And then what we are getting from social media, what we're getting from TikTok, what we're getting from Instagram and Twitter. And that contrast, and you know, on top of all of that, we got things that are happening locally and nationally. Yeah.
Oh boy! Which, so, I guess we should just mention what we'll.
Yeah.
I wanted to say you mentioned Moms for Liberty, but I'll wait. I just got, you know, it's exciting. So in local news, Guadalupe Guerrero and his homie Jonathan Garcia have decided to go off into the sunset.
Yes.
They wrapped up a historic teacher strike.
Oh, God.
And said, you know what? Bye.
Bye.
See ya. They've both resigned. Ooh. And both of their last days are on the same day.
We've done good, guys. We've done all we can here. Here it is. Hit the we got him button.
The other local story, and we will have to be quite quick about all of these things, I guess. The Portland Police Union, which is the Portland Police Association, I believe.
Yeah.
Getting in on the fun of making up what the citizens want. So, you know, it's not just city council, guys. They can also tell us we're too stupid to know what we asked for.
Man. And then national news. Florida's Don't Say Gay law is blocking Sarasota students' right to hot goss. They can't get in on the goss because it can't be discussed in class.
Is the hot goss about their school board president?
It is.
Whoa. Ew.
Man, but you know.
Moms for Liberty coming out swinging. Aha. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you know, they don't say gay. So we can't discuss what the one of the Moms for Liberty founders have been up to, even though it's all over the news. And the kids should be able to go to their teachers and discuss and gain clarity on what's happening, especially in local news.
Not when you're talking about two ladies.
Hey, slow down.
The curse words.
Slow
you know?
Down there.
Can't talk about that.
All right. So.
Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Hop in this music break. And we will see you guys on the other side. And we are Bizak. DJ Ambush. Smoke Show Jones.
Oh, my God.
News of my fiance. What up, dude?
That's cracking me up. Smoke Show Jones?
Yeah. You know my inspiration for that.
Do tell.
It's a two-parter. One, you are a smoke show. Two, Ron Burgundy.
Oh, well, of course. You are, in fact, the anchor man.
Yeah.
You jump right into it, too. You're like, that's me.
Yeah, I love it.
Anchor man.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay classy, Portland. Okay. You know? Come on, what are you talking about?
You're right.
Such a great character.
Can we just do the Moms for Liberty real quick?
Before we do the text messages?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, please. Text messages first. I meant as can we do the Jumping national story first?
Yeah, yeah.
But please forgive me.
Yeah. So we got a couple of highs and we here.
Yeah.
Hey, Age. what else we got in here? I think I see a Rudes somewhere. Oh, Crystal. Good morning, fiance.
Good morning, Crystal.
Hey.
Yes, Rudo said, sorry. Morning, fam. The best part of waking up is the U.S.-funded genocide.
In your cup.
XOXO, Rudo. That is it.
I'm so happy that we can
somebody Photoshop the Folgers thing to go along with that? Like, I don't know, maybe it's what's that coffee called now if it's about, you know, yeah. Genocide.
No, that not. Yeah, I want to do that. good morning, fiancitas e fiancitos.
I'm proud of you. I'm here for it.
Huh? I'm trilingual. I try, guys.
Yeah. Because otherwise.
No. You know?
Not even a little bit. Okay, I want to jump into this. Yeah. Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it? I just want to talk about it.
Give it a read.
Okay.
Give it a read.
Florida's Don't Say Gay law makes it real hard for students to get a better understanding about what maybe a three-way is.
Yeah. Yeah. How else are they supposed to know? They came and asked the teachers, bro.
We head to Florida, where a scandal involving a conservative power couple is sparking unexpected conversations and highlighting the complexities of the state's controversial Don't Say Gay law. In Sarasota, the scandal surrounding Christian Ziegler, is that his name? Chair of the Florida GOP, accused of involvement in a sexual relationship that led to rape allegations, is causing ripples beyond political circles. The strange twist lies in the fact that Bridget Ziegler, his wife and key proponent of the Don't Say Gay law, is now at the center of the discussions about topics the law forbids teachers to address. Quote, I'm having to explain a three-way to a 12-year-old this week, says Jessica Thomason, a substitute teacher and mother, emphasizing the irony of the situation.
Wowzers.
Teachers in Sarasota find themselves in a delicate position, caught between avoiding discussions that the law restricts and responding to students' curiosity about the unfolding scandal. Quote, children aren't guided into what's appropriate or not appropriate, says Gail Foreman, a social studies teacher, highlighting the challenges of navigating these conversations without violating that law. Even when students don't bring up the scandal, it remains a prevalent topic among teachers, adding an unwelcome distraction to their already demanding roles. Quote, we're all just ready to get back to the purpose for which the school board was elected and our purpose as educators, which is the students, expressed Mary Holmes, a teacher with 28 years of experience. The scandal has prompted calls for Christian Ziegler's resignation from Florida's he's the Florida Republican chair, party chair. His wife, Bridget, stepped down from her role at the Leadership Institute, a conservative activist training group. And Bridget Ziegler's facing calls for resignation from the Sarasota School Board amid the ongoing scandal. The fallout also shows light on the impact of the Don't Say Gay law, with teachers noting a chilling effect on LGBT students. So what happened is that Bridget and Christian, I thought his name was something else, had a threesome set up with a bud that they had already done this with previously. Although now Bridget says, just once before, guys, only once, you know, LOL, it was that one time.
Just that one time.
But Bridget backed out of that. She canceled that particular tryst, if you will. And apparently her husband still went over there. And her husband is now being accused of sexual assault and rape of the woman that was once a third consensually and now a question mark.
Right.
Bridget Ziegler is the one of the founders of Moms for Liberty. She is not a woman who was swept up into... you know, chaos that is.
This was her cross to bear.
The tornado of Moms of Liberty. This was her cross to bear. This was her baby. She is one of the co-authors of the Don't Say Gay bill. And here you are having fun. You know, do you, boo.
Because everyone should be able to do
literally
that.
Do you. At one point, I remember in my young youth, that the talking point for everyone who was like, I'm not homophobic, was whatever you do in your own bedroom, not my business.
Right.
You know? Just, I don't know when that became not true to those same people, you know? But to be upset that there could be, you know, two women that have sex or show each other affection.
Right. The nerve.
The nerve.
In public?
Absolutely incensed.
In public and private in any way.
Wherever you're doing it, it's wrong because our kids will know about it or something. You know, I don't know. It will make my kids gay. And we can't have that, I guess. These are the people who are telling you that you don't get to do, like, the thing that is natural for you.
Right.
Is wrong. It's completely wrong. It's immoral. It's, you know, ruining society. But I do enjoy a little. On the weekends.
A little.
You know? Or I don't know what their schedule is. Maybe the demanding schedules. That's his power couple.
Maybe it's the Thursday night thing. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
But here we are. Calls for resignations for her husband because he is, you know, being accused of an incredibly serious situation. The school board said to her, leave, please, resign. Do not do this. Like, just go away. And she said, wow, as I'm sure you all know, I sit on another public board and... none of this was brought up at all. We were just able to go to work. I don't know what's wrong with y'all. I will not be resigning. I will not be resigning. I will not be answering your questions. I will not be any part of this at all, but I will continue to be the president of the board. So one of the things that I learned yesterday was that the only way in Florida for a school board member to be removed mm-hmm. is for the governor to remove them.
Right. Right.
Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis.
One of our faves here, you know, friend of the show. He endorsed her to be the, you know, president of the school board. He is a big fan. He hasn't said a word about her.
Right.
But he did say that her husband should resign. He should step down as party chair.
I did want to mention this last part in there because you did just cover the other two bullet points in the story. So I'm glad we got that in. This is a quote from one of the instructors at that school. It says, "Our transgender kids don't want anyone to know anything other than their non-biologically assigned sex because they're afraid." Describing the changed atmosphere since the law's implementation. Like, the way that these school board members, because now the school board has been swung radically to the right. They've been swung to the right. And the way they've made this all about them while pretending this is about the kids, it's shameful. It's right in your face. You know, it's undeniably selfish. Undeniably selfish. And this is a pure example of that. This is professed to be abhorrent behavior, except when we do it in the privacy of my adult relationship.
Right.
But in order for you to enjoy the freedoms of your adult relationship, you need to understand when you're younger that these things shouldn't be looked at as abhorrent.
Right.
Lord forbid we teach the kids, hey, we're not saying, you know, do this in school, but when you've reached a point in your life, when you've learned everything you need to know about sex and you're ready to participate safely,
that's not a thing that happens.
You know, everything you need to know to participate safely was where I was going.
Apologies, I jumped into.
There are many options that maybe different people that work for different people in the different circumstances and blah blah. Like that's what we should be doing. Instead, it's do not expose our kids to this. Now, Bridget, look what you've done. You've made this a subject for every class. Social studies, definitely math. history, like you know, health. It's in every subject now. It's part of every discussion. Teachers are discussing it during on the hallway. Like, look what you've done. You made it the forefront. You brought it to the forefront. Three ways. Great.
I mean, cool. You know, this is same folks that'll tell you that that gay people getting married will actually negatively impact their own marriage. It will, the sanctity of marriage, in fact, is just throw it out the window.
Right.
You know, like it.
Right.
So if the point of the sanctity and all that is about monogamy and one man, one woman, I believe is an entire slogan and bumper right. sticker for them.
Then what you guys doing, man?
What are we doing? what you mean?
What are you guys into, bruh?
Well, we know what they're into now.
Yeah.
My point is to never just talk about the hypocrisy of it. It is about these are grifts. These are lying liars. They are like literally preying on people's ignorance, their morality that is false, and their insecurities that they'll be found out.
Yep.
Because most of this is projection. I mean, tons of hate, but so much of it is projection. Even in the getting to the hatred part, you have some sort of self-hate going on. You didn't like that your brother was gay or something. I don't know. But whatever right. the hate they got going on, then they project on everyone else what it means to be this absolutely, obviously, naturally occurring thing.
It's actually just nature.
It's just actually nature. It's just like, I don't know. Could you just watch a couple of like Earths at Night or something? Just see how animals interact with each other?
So, they're so well narrated these days.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the one that is, the one I'm thinking of is not Earth at Night, but do watch that too. It is something with Morgan Freeman as the narration.
Oh, yeah.
Earth at Night is Loki. Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's the disconnect of I do these things, but I don't want anyone to know I do these things. And so I'm just going to pretend like these things are the worst things in the world. And like, I can't imagine talking about not saying the word gay or not allowing someone to use the pronouns that they wish that fit. And I'm like, you know, tucking my kids in and then hitting the hojo, as they say.
That's Howard Johnson for those in the dark. The real quick, hojo.
Real quick, there's a text that's important.
It's a door from Carlos.
Am, did you learn Spanish from Canathan?
Actually, I believe you know Canathan and I used to have a show called Run Up the Numbers.
Indeed.
And in there which was,
they both spoke yeah. terrible.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen, man. And there was the there was an exchange in the marketplace of ideas between the two.
What? Oh, my God.
What happened?
What just happened?
I'm just saying we learned.
Not the IDW. No, absolutely not. Yes, Carlos, your question is incredibly important. And the answer is yes. Yeah,
you're quite astute.
Yeah. I just have to tell you, though, as I was talking and then I see the word Canathan pop up, I was like, oh, no, this is great. Number one. But then number two, Can is going to probably disown me at some point. Because people just literally call him Canathan.
It's a great name.
I love it.
Yeah. Come on.
I can say that he doesn't. I remember him telling me, like, you actually have people calling me that in the wild. Like, it's not. People are calling me that now. And we had like a woke meeting or something, and Faith definitely called him Canathan. And I was like, well, look at there. Color me a trendsetter.
It's glorious. It's truly glorious. Oh, God.
Another one. Sorry that gay marriage upset the sanctity of your fifth marriage. No, it is that. Crystal, it is exactly that. Like, we don't even be trying.
No.
We don't even be trying. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Have you been divorced multiple times? Which, again... Over here, not one judgment. Don't care. Do you? But if you are going to base your personality on judging people for doing things that you do.
Right.
Make it.
How do you all let each other get away with it on that side?
Bruh.
Right.
Well, because they're all in that
yeah.
level of delusion. But it's not delusion because it's deceit. Purposeful, too. It's, yeah. you know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. There's one more. To paraphrase Eli Wallach's best line in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I hope I said that right.
Mm-hmm.
I like moral crusaders. They make a lot of noise when they fall.
Blue. Man. You know, before we go to the music break, I do want to remind you guys, The Numbers is in its final week of fundraising.
Oh, yeah.
A yayer. You can definitely head over to the website, thenumberswithaz.fm, or go to either of our Instagrams. There's a link there.
Link in the bio.
To hop on in, show some support. We are trying to get our membership numbers up. So if you aren't a member, become a member. That'd be awesome. Also, share the link with others. We put together I like to think is a star-studded Emmy award-winning video.
This is true. The editing. What editors win Oscars, right?
You win
an Oscar as an editor. Incredible.
Regretfully, there's no car chase, but budgets. The strike affected us all. So.
Oh my God!
What?
What?
Production, okay? Any hoodles. Head on over to the Instagrams or the website. And
also, while you're there, do follow the numbers, you know? All the things so that you're in the know.
Yeah. Shout out to anyone that came to Black Horror Night at the Tomorrow Theater. We have another one coming up next year in March. It's really, really awesome. We had a chance to watch Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. And we met someone who was part of the production, costume design, makeup. They were there that night as well. So, yeah, we got some more events, some more things coming up. Rudo, definitely want to tap you for the next horror night.
I was shocked he wasn't there.
He should have got a personal invite for me. This is my horror dude.
This is
my horror dude. So you know,
Thank you for taking accountability for that.
Yeah.
But Rudo, you're with the personal ask.
You're involved. You're involved the next one, broski. All right. We're going to hop into this music break and we will be right back. And we are back.
We back and we back and we back.
DJ Ambush. I wish I had like another sound effect that would work that would kind of coincide with me saying Smoke Show Jones. Like, is there explosions? Is there like smoke doesn't sound like anything? I can't be like Smoke Show Jones. Is this fireworks, maybe. I'll do that.
Next time.
Yeah.
Rudo asked, am I allowed to go to Black Horror Night?
Yeah.
And then he said, let's show Abby. And Abby is in all caps. So it's got to mean something. And there's
it's a film that I don't know anything about yet.
Is why you're not only allowed, but you're on the board.
You're on the board, sir. Bam.
The ideas, man. You know? I want to get into, we got a little long-winded with other things and my apologies. We got 20 minutes to try and get some two stories in. Two local stories that are very important.
I believe in us.
I kind of feel like the story of the superintendent and his friend and his little friend is really just that, but I can quickly run through.
Yes, please.
Thelma and Louise make their grand announcement. After nearly 7 years, Superintendent Guadalupe Guerrero, who has led the district through a global pandemic and a historic teacher strike, announced his resignation at a board meeting earlier this week. Quote, it seems like now is the right time and juncture for me to pass the baton to the next leader.
Does it?
I'm sharing my decision at this time, knowing that the district... knowing that PPS is in a strong position. Guerrero expressed his respect and admiration for everyone within the school system and members of the board, reciprocated that gratitude during the meeting. Board member Julia Brim Edwards said, quote, I know that we are going to be in an even better place as we move ahead because of the foundation you built. However, Guerrero isn't the only one shaking up the PPS staff. Chief of Staff Jonathan Garcia also announced his departure, sharing his sentiments after 6.5 years of service. Quote, we spent 6.5 years serving the kids of Portland, the children of Portland. We accomplished a lot, and it's time to pass the baton to the next group of leaders.
In the middle of the school year.
Sure. Garcia highlighted one of his proudest moments, empowering students to use their voices through various activities like walkouts and marches. When speaking with KATU after resigning, Guerrero said, quote, I'm looking forward to spending some time with my family, a little personal time of reflection, and we'll see what happens next. I know that I'll continue to work with inner city children and youth in some capacity. Guerrero has led the state's largest school district for nearly 7 years. He acknowledged the challenges ahead, including budget cuts resulting from a new 3-year deal reached after intense negotiations with the teachers union. And he said, quote, that deal will require tens of millions in budget cuts, though he clarified that his resignation has nothing to do with the recent teacher strike or those negotiations. Quote, people might have that initial reaction, but it really has nothing to do with that.
I want to apologize for the glare that I shot you about 15 seconds ago. That was meant for the superintendent.
Okay. I was like, oh,
the glare and disdain. You said something that drew that out of me.
Uh-huh.
That I was like, Guadalupe. But I gave it to you. So.
Gotta talk through your teeth.
Yeah.
Despite the challenges he leaves behind, Guerrero stated that it was time to move on, a common move for superintendents after a few years. When discussing the next board meeting, Brim Edwards said, quote, I assume we're going to talk about how we'll organize a full recruitment for the next superintendent. Guerrero and Garcia's last days in office will be February 16, 2024, and the school board is set to appoint an interim superintendent as they begin the search for a permanent replacement with a salary around $340,000 a year.
Oh, what? Sign me up, guys. Put me in the game, coach.
Ambush, do you think that they will take a look in their search for a superintendent? Do you think that they will look within this city? Or do you think that they will hit the national search?
Yeah, definitely a national search.
Fiancés, do you know, do any of you know what the, where did this start? Where did we have a leadership position, so we must do a global search before we even look in our own backyard?
Yeah.
Because that's not unique to any industry. That's like every industry.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not just like the leadership. It's also like, you know, initiatives. Oh, are we going to do a DEI initiative? I bet we should talk to someone who doesn't live here.
Or know anything about our company's makeup.
Our company's makeup, our city's makeup.
Yeah.
There's a thing that everybody who listens to this show knows that I continuously say the Pacific Northwest has a very specific brand of racism, its own kind, if you will. And Portland is, you know, unique within that.
Yeah.
Shared traits with the rest of the Pacific Northwest. No question. But what do we get to enjoy out there in the world? That is that unearned reputation of being a progressive haven for, you know, where young people get to go to retire because you can just be a creative here and it doesn't cost any money to live.
Speaking of retirement, we got a text. This retired PPS teacher is gleeful at the news of Guadalupe's exit. Don't let the door. Well, you know the rest.
And we do. We know the rest and we share in the sentiment.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, what this looks like to me, Ambush, is getting in front of a recall. Because during the strike and previous to the strike, honestly, I mean, there's just been a lot of like, do you work here or nah? And many parents, especially during the strike, were like, get this guy out of here. Okay. Right. This is not leadership. The recall posters were all over the local social medias, you know? So the way that my brain works right now, and I do not mean this in the conspiracy theory Alex Jones way, but I do
more of a spidey sense,
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When I see a leader and their chief of staff quit with the same, you know, last day and mostly the same statement about their resignation.
It was a group decision.
They just wrote it together, or shout out to ChatGPT. I think that there's something there. What are we about to learn, or, you know, what funds were misappropriated, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What bonus did he get that we didn't know about?
Some of that.
Sorry. I just wanted to be clear that's what happens. I am not making any of those claims. I am not saying that happened. I'm saying that's where my brain goes.
Yeah.
It is definitely for me a interesting thing when you have spent many of the minutes that you had in front of cameras during the strike to talk about how many cuts this was going to take in order to, you know, appease these greedy teachers. And I think, you know, the cuts, you might not want to have to deal with that.
Right. Where there's smoke is all you're saying.
That there is a show.
Where there's smoke. Hey! someone asked, is the superintendent just a grifter position?
Questionable to me, honestly. Yeah. I don't know what the superintendent does, so I'm not. Maybe our PPS, retired PPS friend, fiance, can tell us. I don't know what the superintendent really does. That was one of my big questions. Once I found out that they have like a staff of 40, you know,
right? Admin staff of 40.
Why are there so many people that are deputies to you?
Right.
Do you, what work gets done then?
Right. Same way. I assume that, you know, I wouldn't say it's a grifter position. I would say this person was a grifter. Grifters find their ways into positions. Because, I mean, take three.
Yeah.
When we brought the story up before, we were looking at salaries across the U.S. And, Guadalupe's was on the high end.
Very much on the high end, especially for a district our size.
Right. There it is. Exactly. It's
the district and making over half more. Double. And double.
The bonuses were just wild.
Two pensions.
Come on, man. Come on. But I'm with you. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And to be able to lead the position that's that cushy with all those add-ons, you and your chief of staff?
Bruh.
We gonna see. Yeah. Someone said they'll be able to say they're looking for the best and brightest talent by looking outside of the city.
You know, that's exactly what they say. And I don't know how they don't think that's a spit in everybody's face who they're talking to.
Yep.
I mean, obviously not the people that are like not wanting to be the superintendent or the leadership position that is being hired for, but the folks that do,
right,
we're just too stupid. So again, we
did disrespect
the time has just slipped. So we got to get into this very last story, because speaking of, exactly, is anyone a best or bright? You know, like it's almost as if in this city here, people continuously tell us how we don't know what we want. We don't know what we're doing. But let me tell you what is happening, and then it's not actually happening.
The police botched their biggest performance yet. Law enforcement officers in Portland have spent a few years complaining about the decriminalization of personal drug use and blaming the housing crisis on drug-addicted homeless people and the DA, often explaining their frustrations of recent detained people returning to the streets shortly after arrest. Last week, after making a huge arrest, the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office pulled a catch and release. In January, Funes was initially caught selling fentanyl downtown. Despite being booked on 10 felonies, he was released with minimal charges due to his limited criminal history. He was given a court date, and Funes failed to appear.
Can I stop you really quick?
Yeah.
I wrote this and I forgot to put his first name in there. Louise.
Louise.
Louise Funes.
All right. Fast forward to December 7th, when detectives identified Louise as a ringleader and raided his Northeast Portland Airbnb rental. Shockingly, they uncovered a staggering 52 pounds of fentanyl, or reportedly 11 million doses. However, things got confused when Luis was arrested, but subsequently released from the Multnomah County Jail. Questions started swirling online. Officers were pointing fingers and accusations that the DA is too soft on crime went flying. Why? Why would an accused drug kingpin be released immediately? Multnomah County Sheriff's officers failed to book him on new charges related to the massive drug seizure.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Morgan. You heard that correctly. Despite the substantial quantity of drugs, Luis Funes was booked on the warrant from January, the failure to appear. Never being charged or held as the alleged drug kingpin he was suspected to be. The decision not to include charges related to the drug raid meant Funes was processed like any other low-level street dealer, leading to his release. This isn't the first time the police failed to charge someone correctly, and they blame someone or something else. Renewing many questions about police procedures and has sparked discussions about potential reforms in Multnomah County's booking and pretrial detention policies. City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, who was running for mayor, has pledged change if elected, saying if he is elected, drug dealers are going to jail. They're not going to get released within 24 hours. Cool story, bro.
Riveting narrative. He does not necessarily have the power to make that claim, which is interesting because that's, I think, how he won last time. So wonder if just promising things that are don't actually fall under your purview. Mm-hmm. Then
it's the way to win, baby.
It is the way to, I mean, they don't, again, have the scary black lady to run against. And so there's going to have to be, you know, a scary soft on crime DA to talk
about. He is taking notes from the top. I am going to get Mexico to pay for that wall.
Okay. You know what?
Okay.
Dang right.
Just say the things and get in the position.
So here's the thing with this one, because
where to George Santos?
Where do we even start? I got to be quite quick. Right? But if you take a peek online and you see what people are saying about this, the big, you know, I'm just asking questions crowd is like, where is Mike Schmidt? This Schmidt show is just continues to let all of these hardened criminals out of jail when they shouldn't. We just, everything's legal now. And I want to reinforce what happened here is that the police who did an investigation so much so that they were able to raid this person's home or the Airbnb rented in his girlfriend's name. They were able to raid that. They also raided his the runner. One person, that runner, gets arrested with, I think, 25 grand and a couple of dismantled guns that were on their way to somewhere else. And then Louise is apprehended. Mm. And they book this person on the warrant from January from a failure to appear. What? You worked on this. You guys did this investigation. You mean to tell me that you then were like, no, not going to charge him with those things. And so that person gets let go. And then you are like, how did this happen? How happened?
Right.
They said is that they were, what a source close to the, familiar with the booking process or something, I can't remember exactly how it was phrased, was like, there's oftentimes officers will delay charging while they're, you know, people are going through booking to try and find out if there are bigger charges.
Right.
To use. And so they're saying they were likely trying to find federal charges to, you know, throw on this, which would then make it so that person does not get to just pop out on a quick bail.
And in doing so,
they just let him out. I don't even think he had a bail.
But in doing so, they completely overlooked what they actually arrested him for.
Yeah. Like, they did not charge him with what they were actually arresting him for. He did not get charged for that. Then, of course, he gets a ticket, basically, that says appear in court. His was the next day. He did not show, which is, in fact, incredibly shocking when you have found 52 pounds of fentanyl.
Also, when the thing you did book him for was based on him not showing before.
Definitely.
He had to feel like he was being punked. When they let him loose, he had to be looking around outside like, so are they going to jump out on me? Like, what is happening? Something's going on.
Okay. Someone just asked, did the cops bungle the booking or did they mishandle the arrest/surveillance so bad that they could not legally charge him? Or all of the above? And thank you. Yes? No? Question mark? I think so.
Right. All of the above?
All of the above? D? I mean, I have a... here's my thought. The police have been on a woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't support us the way that we need you to support us tour for... ever, but very, very much pointed since the George Floyd protests, in which people were calling for the police to stop killing people, to stop cracking skulls. That is what please stop killing citizens. You don't actually get to just do that.
And their response was, well, I guess you don't want us to do our job.
That is literally their response. I guess you just don't want police then. I guess we just won't show up when you need us. Why would you call us? I guess we'll just frame a sitting city council member to get them not just, unelected. I don't know if that's what I mean.
Yeah, but to charge them.
We will tarnish your reputation so much that there will be no coming back from that. There will be no, the people that thrive on the anti-blackness that they play in is, they don't go back to find out that the police lied.
Right.
They don't go back to find out that Joanne Hardesty actually didn't do that thing. And that the people that you're following on Instagram because you think the things are funny are actually the people that set that up.
And do you think that's funny?
So I think that the police did their quiet quitting a long time ago. And this is the kind of thing that, especially as we are moving into major campaign season for district attorney. I don't know. I will not say that I know for certain that this was done purposely, but I will say that this certainly adds to the narrative.
Yep.
That you just can't keep crime under control in Portland because there's no way to keep a person in jail. The amount of times that the police have not charged people for what they were supposed to be charged is too high for them to ever complain about anybody else.
Right.
For them to ever say anything about how this system does or doesn't work. You are the stopgap. You're the one right there. This is on you. And you're looking around like, I wonder how we got here.
Right.
You don't get to do that. You absolutely do not get to pretend that you, how did this person just slip through our fingers?
Right.
They're your fingers. They're not, it just coincides. I will just say it is, when they are able to say there's all these overdoses and there's, look at this huge bust that we did. It is incompetence. If it is, you know what I mean? At the very least, it's that you don't know how to do the job you say you do. You did an investigation successfully.
Right.
Figured out that this person was, and this is us being generous and believing that any of that has happened and is real. But found out this person is a ringleader of a fentanyl gang or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You get the warrant to seize this person and search these homes.
And then you let him go.
And the runner gets federal charges, but this person doesn't? like, y'all.
Like, was this a catch and release so you can get a bigger fish? Like, what? You have to explain yourself. You have to explain yourself.
And your explanation cannot be, it's a Schmidt show.
Right.
And the point of this story, the point of the Moms of Liberty story, the point of speaking about hypocrisy is not about the hypocrisy. It's about these people continuously lie to our faces. And then we create policy behind those lies or beliefs, or, you know, you hold ideologies based on full blown make believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on us to demand accountability.
It's on us to demand the truth, too.
Yeah, right. Like, if you're going to sit here and lie to us, and you're going to say these are the reasons these things are happening, back it up. It can't be just taken for face value because you said it when it makes zero sense. We need statements. We need actual people saying, hey, you said this happened. We need you to give us some clarity on the way this played out and how this could have been done better. Because all we keep getting is, it's the DA. All we keep getting it's the governor.
Where's Tina Kotek in all this? What? You are Multnomah County. Where is Multnomah County sheriffs in this?
And here's the thing. For you people on social media, whether it's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, that want to have these intellectually dishonest conversations, have at it. Have at it. But understand that what you're doing is... it's not news. It's not that. It's was it Morton Downey Jr.? That's what you're doing. That's the show.
Yikes.
That's the show. You're doing Morton Downey Jr. You're not doing Sally Jesse Raphael. All right? You're not. So don't come on here acting like you give you give a inch of concern and care about what's actually happening in our city. Well, what you're doing is producing entertainment for a certain sect of people that want to deal in rage. That's it. I will not allow you to pretend as if you are a community reporter. I will not suffer your foolishness.
Not even a little bit.
You're on the record. A lot of you are on the record of committing crimes.
Fam. And then we're watching every single one of their little buds get arrested left and right for doing the things they say other people are doing. Right.
Imagine on the record for committing crimes, but then you want to dox people who are stealing food to survive. Go somewhere.
Get a life.
Yeah. Get you a life.
Get some business.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
It'd be cool.
Sorry, we went over.
It's all right.
Tom Hartman, we love you.
You're listening to X-Ray FM. This show brought to you by Smoke Joe Jones, Morgan Jones, and DJ Ambush, and our podcast editor, Kyle G. Thank you, everyone, that contributed to the conversation via text. You know, we love you guys. You guys are super duper awesome. I am updating the playlist. I forgot one song last week, but this week I will not forget it. I got most of it in there already. But remember how we do. Do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. And none of us are free until we are all free. Thanks for listening.
Bye.